Welcome to another edition of the Game Sports Podcast. It is David McKeag, the host of the Game Sports Podcast, powered by 91 Network. Tonight on the game, I will be joined by Alex Parr discussing all things hockey, including a 1987 top five NHL draft redraft, including in a Would You Rather segment as well. In part two, EJ Russell will be joining yours truly discussing March Madness, as Madness is here, as well as some football discussion. You don't want to miss it. Let's go. Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Podcast. This is your host, David McKeag Jr. I am joined by Alex Parr. Let's introduce Alex right off the hop. Alex, my friend, how goes the battle, my friend?
It's a battle. We're in the trenches. We're in the foxhole together, and there's no one else I'd rather be in there with than Dave. Dave, also, congratulations on introducing me so quickly.
You know what? I don't know what it is. I do feel my voice is kind of hoarse. I have been battling a bug the past few days, and that explains the schedule of the Game Sports Podcast this week. So maybe my voice sounds better. Let me know what you think. My wife doesn't agree. She thinks I sound too more nasally. So like,
not like that episode of Family Guy where Peter gets sick and Lois is just like super into his voice. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not.
I did see that. Mm-hmm. I love Family Guy. Who doesn't love Family Guy? Family Guy is amazing. You know, we got a lot to get to. The agenda, I've already talked about what that is. I don't need to repeat it. So we're talking hockey. This is the top shelf segment, and there is a good amount of hockey news to get into. Playoffs is around the corner for the National Hockey League. Literally just under five Fridays away, Alex, was the way that looked.
Wow.
That's a wild way to look at it. The OHL is literally around the corner. It's within the next week. The OHL teams are going to be finishing its regular season going into this week. The junior championships, if it's WHL, the Q, the O, it's always great to see their playoff action. And obviously the Mem Cup is always so exciting. You got the top teams in the country in junior hockey that get together to play in the Memorial Cup. And the Game Sports Podcast is based in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. So there is a very good team that the Sioux Greyhounds are icing this year and are a top team and a favorite in the OHL this year, along with, of course, London and Saginaw. I'll be very excited to see how the OHL playoffs turn out and the entire major junior playoff picture. Let us know who you think is going to be winning your league's respective championship, WHL, Q, O, whatever league you want to devote to. But also the Mem Cup, who's your favorite? A lot of good prospects. Players are getting drafted this year. Very exciting to watch. And the Hounds, I know I'll be there watching at the GFL here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. It'll be very exciting. So that's my shout out to major junior hockey. We're going to transition into the National Hockey League right now in Par. GM meetings have been taking place, and I'm not going to get into what has been discussed every last 3 days and the topics. Bettman spoke on the third day, which is today, March the 20th. I want to ask you your opinion about one thing. If you were given a blank piece of paper and you wrote down something that changed the National Hockey League, that rule changed it, what would be that rule that you would put down?
I guess it wouldn't be so much a rule change as it would be that the rule book in itself isn't left open-ended on so many different topics, where since it's left open-ended, it just means that Gary Bettman can kind of say what he wants the final ruling to be when it's left all up in the air and it's not like in concrete. So I would probably take some of the things that are a little bit left in the gray area and try to narrow those down a little bit. And maybe, I don't know, some sort of... Actually, no, scrap that. Refs answering questions after games. That's what it is.
Okay. And the reason being is because we've talked about this a lot on this podcast. We've talked about the LTIR rule, and I'm glad you didn't bring that up because I know that's one that's the main topic. Okay, so we won't need to bring that up. That's obvious we want to change. But you have been vocal on the show saying you don't know what a call is, right?
Never.
And if you look back to Game 7 of Tampa-Toronto a couple years back on Justin Hall's pick and roll, apparently.
Are you going to talk about Detroit's goal in overtime?
Yeah, or that.
That was the same thing. It was the same play.
Yeah, good call. Holy, yeah, like literally. So you have inconsistency throughout the league a lot, and refs get bashed. It doesn't matter what league you've talked about. We've talked about the NFL about referees here, and Justin Heichel had a very funny conspiracy saying how the refs have bets on games, but we just haven't been able to determine it because they use fake accounts. I think I might have quoted him wrong, but you get my gist. So, Alex, why do you want them to interview after games?
It will just bridge the gap a little bit between the fans that are always so angry and the refs that seem like there's no repercussions for anything. In the NBA, the refs have to answer to the media after the game. And sometimes they just go, my bad, I missed it. And you know what? As angry as I am sometimes that the calls don't go my team's way, if I just knew that the ref was holding himself accountable and being like, yeah, I blew it, like, I wouldn't feel great in that moment. But when I woke up in the morning and be like, yeah, like, he's a human, he is going to make mistakes, and I'm glad that it's out there and we're not just acting like these refs are perfect. Like, whenever Gary Bettman gets asked, how do you feel about the officiating in the game? And he goes, I don't think it could be any better. I think it's the best. I think we have the best officials in the world. Maybe we could just have some truth to it all.
You know, honestly, if I had to write down a rule change, and that's why I'm glad I went to you first, because it would have been the obvious answer, the LTIR issue. But the main rule change that I would like to see is an overtime. I've talked about this the most. I've had obnoxious different points where I've said 3-on-3, 2-on-2, shootout. Honestly, 10 minutes of 3-on-3. I think that's what it should go to. Should it end in a tie? I've been asked that. I'm very indifferent about it. If they can't score in 10 minutes of 3-on-3, I'd be very surprised. But there are teams that don't score in 5 minutes of 3-on-3. So what would say another 5 minutes would be? I think it'd be even more unlikely for somebody not to score. I think the odds would be completely different. And in that change, if you want to end in a tie, that's where you can change the format. 3-2-1 point system, 3-2-1-0 point system. But again, you don't need to change that if you really don't want to. One rule we had to change, it would be the overtime rule. 3 minutes of overtime, then a shootout. Maybe that's one thing I would
like. 10 minutes of 3-on-3 overtime, then a shootout.
Thank you, Alex. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes, 3-on-3, then a shootout. I think that's more realistic than me saying 10, then 2-on-2, then tie and
change. And just the goalies, and then the coaches.
Yeah, no. So 10 minutes of 3-on-3, then a shootout. I think that can be allowed on broadcasting for that extra 5 to 10 minutes. Now, there's obviously more topics that are going to be discussed at the GM meetings. It'll be interesting to see what else comes up. And honestly,
there's only one rule change that did come out of it. Did you not? Yeah, okay. Is that what you're getting to? Am I jumping
here? I'll let you lead that off. I'll let you go to it because...
Yeah, I guess a lineman had his thigh cut from a player with his leg sitting over the board waiting to go over. So now you are not able to be over the boards whatsoever before going out onto the ice, or it's a penalty, which I think is great because maybe that means the Leafs won't take as many too many men penalties because they won't be able to hang over the bench. So I think that's great. I love it. I love it.
You know what? The too many men penalties, it goes in two directions that I see commonly. So if someone's drifting to the bench, if someone's too hot and horny to get off over the bench, or somebody is completely just lazy, doesn't care, and goes over the bench. I've seen Willie Nylander go over the bench.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I've seen him not look to the right if Jake McCabe was coming down. He just, if anyone saw the video, he just makes sure he looks good when he goes over the boards. You know, then you have someone like Morgan Riley who to the bench, and Tavares just says, then he puts his stick on the ice because he wants to get the puck. He's like, oh shit, I made a mistake. Or Ryan Reeves because he just wants to go out there and be a force. Again, I'm talking Leafs. It's just the too many men penalty. That's so undisciplined. And I could see Keith's face as the gray hairs continue to grow on his head, calling out his hair. Sorry, Sheldon. The one thing I want to bring up, and we're just going to go into this quickly. It's been a news around hockey the last 24 hours. Wawa native Chris Simon has passed away at the age of 52. I wanted to share a story about Chris Simon. I had the luxury of meeting Chris a couple times. And obviously, one time I was young. I was 5 years old. It's 5 or 4 years old around that area. He was playing for the Washington Capitals. He was actually might have been closer to 6, but nonetheless, he was playing for Washington. And I met him at Canadian Tire, And my dad recognized him. And we were in some section near hockey. And I remember shaking. For some reason, my young self remembers seeing Chris Simon. Okay. Like big guy shaking this guy's hand. And I was reminded about what he told me that day. And what he told me was, I guess my dad was saying how he wants to be a hockey player, etc. And Chris Simon said that you may want to be a hockey player, but if you ever want to be a fighter, you'll never be as tough as me. That's so true. Chris was an absolute chief out there. He was tough. He's a Stanley Cup champion. He won the Cup with the Colorado Avalanche. He obviously played a lot of suit ties. It's it's sad to see what the story was there with Chris Simon, and I'm not going to get into the details. We don't need to on this show, but I just got to pay respects to somebody who was a great hockey player, had a great hockey career, and was a great person. And despite any challenges that have come forward off the ice, doesn't change the person that he truly is. So rest in peace to Chris Simon. And I know there's a lot of people in the Sioux that have ties with them, people that I know that are affiliated with the show. So I want to make sure that I gave a shout out to Chris Simon. Now, Alex, I have 2 points I want to get to. Like I said, we're going into a quick segment here today, as promised. There is 2 points we've got to make sure we bring up, and that is the NHL redraft and the Would You Rather. And I want to go to, if it's okay with you, I want to do the NHL redraft last. I want to save the best for last because it's getting a lot of traction on social media, such as TikTok and so on. I want to do the Would You Rather. We missed that last time, so this one's a very easy Would You Rather. And if anyone wants to know what the Would You Rather means, it's very simple. I'm going to ask a question, but would you rather blah? Blah or blah or even blah, and Alex chooses blah. That very simple. So would you rather, Alex, be the star on a bad team or an average player on an elite team?
Dumb question. I'm here to win. I want rings. I want trophies. I want championships. And I want to do it as a team. I would take an average player on an elite team is still so good. You can still be the best player on a bad team if you're average on an elite team. But you don't stink, and you don't have to worry about tanking. So I'm going to go average player on an elite team, locking it in.
For my answer, I'm going to give it to you in two directions. If you would have asked me before the age of 21, I would have said bad star player on a bad team, because I probably would have just wanted to be an absolute stud. Maybe not 21, maybe 18 and younger. But now as you get older and you realize, you know, what true legacy is despite points and how great, well, Gretzky is not a great example because he won everything. But somebody who, if you get, let's say 600, 500 to 750 points in your NHL career, and you play 1,000 games and you've won 4 Stanley Cups, I think that would be an average player's number around that area. Maybe that's actually a pretty good player when you think about it.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's pretty good numbers, actually. But average player on a team, on average player on an elite team, definitely book me in on that, because, you know, winning rings is certainly part of a legacy. So, Alex, that was an easiest would you rather the entire time. And we didn't miss it last time. I was actually just noted myself. We actually had the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson reference last time. So we didn't miss it last episode, to make sure I catch my mistake there. But one thing that we haven't missed, that's for sure, since we have began the redraft segment, is the NHL redraft. And to remind everybody, this is where Alex and myself, or whomever is joining me for this segment, will be drafting the top five of the year's draft that we are discussing. And in this case, we're going to be talking about the 1987 draft. That is the year that Sidney Crosby was born. Fun fact. Now, Alex, I'm going to give it to you first. Yeah. Who's your top five picks in the 1987 draft?
I think they're going to be very similar lists. I don't really think there's – I think the top five is pretty solidified when it comes to this. Number five, John LeClair. Number four, Theo Fleury. Number three, Pierre Turgeon. Number two, President of MLSE, Brendan Shanahan, or President of the Leafs, I guess, not MLSE. And number one, easy, Joe Sakic.
Very true. Brendan Shanahan probably actually deeply is the president of MLSE.
But yeah, he's pulling some strings somewhere, that's for sure.
Absolutely is. Mine, I'm going to go from five up as well. I loved Parr's approach on that. Now I've taken it since I used to go one down. Nah. Going five, the Pittsburgh Penguins are proud to select friend of the Game Sports podcast, Theo Fleury. Number four, the Los Angeles Kings are proud to select Pierre Turgeon. The third overall pick, the Boston Bruins are proud to select Glenn Wesley.
Whoa.
With the second overall pick, the New Jersey Devils are proud to select Brendan Shanahan. No change with those two picks. And with the number one overall pick, the Buffalo Sabres are proud to select Joe Sakic. Burnaby Joe.
No Stanley Cup champion John LeClair, huh?
No, he's up there for me, as well as Luke Richardson. A lot of that longevity that we talked about a lot, someone who's played a lot of games, that's something you have to respect. And Matthew Schneider, former Leaf, who almost played 1,300 games. I got to meet Matthew when I was younger. He's actually a really nice guy when I was got a tour of the old gardens before it closed down. And Eric Desjardins, there's another guy who's played a lot of games, very solid defenseman. There's a lot of guys we could have went into with this draft. I really feel like for the bottom, like for the 5 or 4, but nonetheless, very strong draft indeed. But Joe Sack has got to be your number one. If he isn't your number one, you're crazy. Why are you listening? Almost. That's the level that I'm at. Alex, that is top shelf for today, my friend.
Okay. Wow. That was quick. I mean, normally you say 15 minutes and we do like 45, but it's been about 15. So that's pretty good.
It is pretty good. And obviously you and I always have a great time, and it's been a schedule the last couple of weeks. I want to remind listeners that, and viewers, for the month of March, we have taken it to one show a week, and that will probably transition the same into April, but we are planning to substitute that second show a week for special edition uploads that are coming. And the next one that's coming was somebody that I promised last week, but obviously I've been feeling well, a lot's been going on, and I went to see Olivia Rodrigo last weekend. Front row, which was really cool, mind you. She's awesome. But the special edition finally coming that I talked about, the Tristan Grant episode that myself and Alex did a number of months ago. It's a little bit of an older segment, but it's all relevant content, of course. It's all about the life of Tristan Grant and what he's doing now after hockey. So I'll be very excited to show that to you. That will be uploaded by Monday next week, just so everybody knows. Alex, thank you again, and we'll see you next week.
That sounds like a plan. I'll see you then.
Absolutely. And if you want to challenge us to EASHL, meaning NHL 24, like Moon Empire did, and lose, don't hesitate to comment your gamer tag, team name, whatever below. We'll find you, and we'll dust you. End of story. Taking a break. Don't go anywhere. We got more here on the Game Sports Podcast. That includes EJ Russell. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to the Game Sports Podcast. I have the pleasure to introduce making his return to the Game Sports Podcast after a month absence because, well, it's not football season, but it is March Madness season. And he's full of madness in a good way. The one and only EJ Russell. EJ, my friend, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I got the Grambling State, Montana State playing game winner takes on Purdue. I believe Montana State's still up. I got a bang angle on my TV right now. But happy to be here. Happy to talk about the madness that's in my mind and the madness that's about to go on over the next 4 days. This is about to be the best 4 days of the college sports season.
Oh, it's going to be jammed. In March, there's a lot of things that people can get excited about. A lot of playoffs in sports looking to begin. There's March Madness. There's baseball getting underway very soon. It did get underway in Seoul today between the Dodgers and the Padres. So there's a lot of sports.
By the way, do you see that foul ball Shohei hit that went through the wall? Was that not the monster. I swear to God, I thought it was going to be the longest home run I ever seen, and that thing went up out of the top left corner. And when I say top left corner, or excuse me, top right corner, right? He was batting as a lefty.
Lefty.
He had a sweeping foul ball that went into the top left corner, and I mean, again, top left corner of the dome, and it went through the freaking wall. Do you see his wife sitting there? Like, oh, wow. The guy is just unbelievable with a bat in his hand.
Oh, he's unbelievable. And the Dodgers have a treat there for sure. An absolute talent who they're paying next to nothing for. But madness, March Madness. Now, this is something, EJ, that we've talked about on the show dating back to the Four Horsemen. If you know, you know. I won't get into that. If you know, you know. That'll be the quiz. What's the Four Horsemen? If you know what the Four Horsemen are, comment wherever you are. Or if
and Dave will send you $1,000.
Yeah, I actually might send money. I owe EJ a trophy, so I probably won't.
and we're discussing how to... No, I can't say this over the podcast.
But March Madness has always been a joy to obviously discuss, and I've had the luxury of growing up a Duke fan, so I've seen a lot of success in college basketball. But EJ, you know what's going on with this March Madness, okay? You are the guy on the show that I will ask anyone that I will ask about it. And I want to give you the floor because we're going to talk about March Madness here. But before we end, though, I know some people are going to want a little bit of football reaction from you. Just a, like, you know, just a kiss, just a little tease. And we'll do that at the end for you. Okay. We'll let EJ have a 2-minute warning. If that sounds familiar, if you know, you know, and he'll use it for football. Okay. But let's talk madness first. EJ, the floor is yours.
Well, I think that due to the way that, and sorry about the noise here, Dixie, come here, get in on this. Come on, come here, get in on this. Come on. Oh, she's not coming today. My wife just got home. She just let him out. So Dixie will make her appearance hopefully here soon. She usually makes one, but the madness is upon us. And I think that the conference championship tournaments really showed us that out of all of the four number one seeds in the tournament, only one of them actually won their conference championship.
It's wild.
And Wisconsin gave Illinois all they could handle in the Big Ten tournament. So this is certainly looking to be – she's going to be mad at me for showing her on TV. It's certainly going to be one of those tournaments where I think we can expect a lot of madness. I think that typically when you look at the tournament, right, over the last – Dixie, quit drinking so much water. Over the last 15 years, really, and until the last 5-6 years, you haven't seen anybody as a number one seed really lose to anybody else. And Dixie can tell you because she's exhausted trying to play these number one teams as a 16 seed. But the thing that we've seen as these 16 seeds is that in these last few years, they have found a way. They have found a way to beat these number one teams. And that stock started with, Boston County, the Terriers. They started by beating Virginia as a 16 seed. But now we've seen multiple 15 seeds beat twos, 16s beat ones. And I think that this is a year, and I'm going to call my shot here right now. If any number one seed loses to a 16, give me the winner of Montana State, Grambling State against Purdue. They didn't win the Big Ten championship. They're giving Zach Edey retirement of his number before he's even finished his career. But yet last year, you were soft when it came to the NCAA tournament, and you decided to come back for unfinished business. And then you lose in the Big Ten championship game. Zach Edey, I'm sorry. As big as you are and as dominant as you're supposed to be, you're soft. I'm not big on Purdue this year. Now, another fun fact when it comes to the NCAA tournament. Dave, let me ask you this. And my stat line might be slightly skewed here, but I'll go with since 2000 because I think it's before that, but I'll go with at least since 2000. How many teams west of Dallas, Texas have won the NCAA championship?
Zero.
None.
Zero. Zero.
Which is part of the reason I like to make my case for Houston. Houston's technically east of Dallas. Mm-hmm. But you're not looking at a West Coast team like an Oregon, an 11 seed that a lot of people are excited about. I know our dear friend Butch Davis, Oregon Duck alum, he's excited to see that. Michigan State kind of comes into this tournament and riding a little bit of a wave. The Big Ten doesn't look bad. There's a lot of pieces that could really overthrow and upset some of these more dominant teams. And I'm trying to look at my bracket here. In the East, I don't have a lot of excitement. But I think the bracket that excites me the best is probably the South, because I think Kentucky can absolutely lose to Oakland. I have Florida losing in their first game. Duke could easily lose to Vermont. Duke has not been the typical powerhouse that they have. I mean, I think a lot of upsets could come out of that South region. I also think that a team like Akron out of the MAC can come out and surprise a team like Creighton. You know, there have been many a tournaments where a school out of the Mid-American Conference has made it to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, and they have a hard time getting past that. But Akron's certainly a good basketball team this year. Dave, if you want to go piece by piece, I'll break down my bracket with you, but I'm super excited to see how things play out.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that. And what I like these stories about March Madness is the word in the title, madness, because anything can happen. It's one game. It's that deciding point. It's so exciting. I'm a big fan of Cinderella stories. I love that about sports. Call me a sucker if you'd like, because I am a sucker for Cinderella stories.
You're a loser when it comes to fantasy football.
That I'm a second place finisher. But I hear if you ain't first, you're last, quoting Ricky Bobby. But nonetheless, I find that this tournament is going to have
a lot of madness. There's a cougar in the car.
In a Lucky Charms bag underneath. But I was – that stat that you brought up at the beginning, the Big Ten Championship with the first seeds were not successful at all. That's just tease up for what this tournament is going to be like. There's obviously, you're going to have the 16 seed going against the 1 seed, and you're going to be like, okay, easy win. But is there going to be an upset on one of them? When I go around, I do have a hard time really looking at it and saying, yeah, like, if you can, would UConn lose? I don't think so.
I think Purdue's the easiest 1 seed to fall.
Yeah, Purdue is 100%.
I can't see the game right now, but look at the way that Montana State played the first half of this basketball game. They were able to, they weren't having a lot of success outside. And I don't know the players' names, but number 3 for the Cats, he wasn't shooting particularly well beyond the arc, But what they did well is they got the ball down low, and that opened up the outside, and they were able to hit 5 of 10 three-pointers in the first half as compared to the 3 of 8 that Grambling State was able to play. Grambling State is looking like one of those teams that they're trying to physically outwork Montana State, but Montana State is holding to their game. They're playing slow. And number two, I wish I knew this kid's name. Number two has made some of the best moves in this first four games that I've seen so far. I think that if Purdue has to line up against either one of these two teams, they got something to worry about.
They do. And there's always that one team that's the first seed that either gets that upset against them or they're on the ropes. And Purdue is a good way to look at it. But if there's one team that I'm looking at, I'm staring at the bracket. If anyone's wondering on video what I'm looking at, I got camera here so I can show my pretty face to you, and I got the bracket right on my right screen over here just so everyone doesn't want to call me out on looking out at that. But if there's a couple teams that I'm looking at that are lower seeds, I see a couple obviously in the West that I would really point out. And the ones that I'm really thinking of is New Mexico. That's one where I feel like they should get a little bit more credit, especially going against Clemson. I think that's going to be a very good game. And I also want to say when it comes to Nevada against Dayton, Nevada's a 10 seed and Dayton's a 7 seed, right? So it's not like it's too much of a separation. It's not.
Yeah, you're looking at Mountain West versus the Atlantic 10, excuse me.
Yeah, so like, but it's still an upset because of the seeds, right? And honestly, as I look down
the Dayton Flyers, though, they've been this tournament several times and have certainly competed.
They have, and that's where I really kind of see New Mexico as a team that shouldn't be underestimated by any which means. And I'm also looking at Drake as well. That's another team. Again, that's another 10-7 matchup. But if I'm looking at a team that's 10 and under, it's New Mexico, and it's also looking at Samford. That's another one, too, that I'm looking at. Those are the two lower seeds that I'm looking at that might cause a little bit of an upset. And that's over in the Midwest.
If you're looking at the dance this year and you want to pick a double-digit seed to make some noise, may I make a suggestion and say go Lopes, Grand Canyon University. They have played some regular season games in the last couple of years against the calibers of Syracuse's and these and those teams and have hung around and played really, really good basketball. And when you go to Grand Canyon University, which is located north of Phoenix, and it's a primarily Christian school, but when you go there and you watch the games, it's a small barn, but they pack the house, and the Lopes fans are fanatical. I'll tell you this right now. I got a Lopes shirt in my closet right now. If I ask my wife to go grab it, I'll bet you she can find it. I'm riding with the Lopes. I got them winning against St. Mary's, a 12 over a 7 seed in the West. And then I actually have them, and this is going to be my big bracket buster pick. I have Grand Canyon University actually beating number 4 Alabama to make it to the Sweet 16 and go up against Michigan State. I think that North Carolina falters in this tournament. I think that they're probably the worst number 1 seed outside of Purdue. But I think Grand Canyon University has a great opportunity to make some noise. And if you don't believe me, go watch their last couple. And I get that this is college ball, right? Their last couple of years of film doesn't mean anything. But what you're looking at is their ability to build the program. They've been better and better and better and better. And now they're sitting there in the dance and people know who they are. And I think that those that know who they are getting ready to pick them. And those that don't, you better pay attention, because if you don't pick them in the first two rounds, I think you're missing out.
Honestly, when I look at this tournament, there's so many ways you can go, and I think a lot of people's brackets are going to have a little bit of a shake when it comes to the first round, for sure, the first set of games, and the madness of this tournament. I had a hard time picking my winner, and I want you, EJ, to go through the tooth and comb of your bracket to state your winner. I won't do the same. I'll just state who I think is going to win at the end of it all. And no, everyone knows I'm a Duke Blue Devils fan. I don't have them to win this year, but I think they're definitely going to make some noise a little bit, maybe going to the Sweet 16. I think that's the furthest Duke may be able to get this year. Anything further, I think, is success for them at this point. But, EJ, I want to give you the floor with kind of going through your bracket a little bit as we sit here discussing the overall March Madness that is the madness. You really – and as EJ – has his microphone muted for just a second. He had one moment to step away there for a minute. You know, that's what we call just a little bloop. We call that a little bloop, EJ. But I want to go through your bracket and kind of see who you think is going to win this tournament this year. I know you went through some games already, so you could let us know who you think is going to win this game. or this tournament.
All right, here we go. So I think for me, the clear-cut favorite to come out of the East is Auburn. I think Illinois is going to give them a really big run, especially the way that they played in the Big Ten championship game. But I have Auburn, Illinois in the end there. In the West, I think Grand Canyon University is going to be the Florida Gulf Coast of this tournament. I think it's one of those teams that makes some names. I think you see North Carolina bounce out early. I think you could see a Michigan State, Arizona. Arizona is what I have there in the round of 16. And I think that's going to be probably one of the best games of the tournament. If Michigan State can beat North Carolina, I think that there is a potential that Grand Canyon University could sneak in to the Elite Eight. But I have Michigan State, Arizona coming out there. Arizona coming out on top. In the South, not a lot of excitement. I have NC State make a run all the way to the Elite Eight. I think they've been playing some solid basketball out West this year. But, again, no team on the West Coast has won in at least 24 years. So I have Houston beating NC State there in the end. If Purdue doesn't lose in the first round, I have them losing in the second round to TCU. I think that, you know, you end up with a 4-5 Kansas-Gonzaga matchup. I think below that, though, you get a lot of potential. I think I have Oregon beating South Carolina. I have Akron taking down a Creighton. So that gives you a 11-14 matchup. Winner takes on number two Tennessee. I think Tennessee ends up handling their business. So I have a Gonzaga-Tennessee Elite Eight, and then I have Tennessee moving on. So my final four this year is number four Auburn against number two Arizona against, on the other side, you have number one Houston versus number two Tennessee. I think Houston beats Tennessee based on their level of consistency this year. They had 3-4 losses going into the tournament. And then Auburn is one of those teams that's really just been coming along in the NCAA tournament honorable mentions category. And I think that they're finally going to bounce up, take that step up, play for a national championship. I have Houston versus Auburn, but I'll tell you what, I like Houston 74-69. I got Houston as national champs.
Houston as national champs. Look, but I'll give the listeners, and that's a great pick. You'll know why in a second. To go around for four, the final four, I wanted to try to pick a realistic surprise Cinderella team, but I had to be real on these four, on these final four. I think you'll see a Cinderella story. Grand Canyon's a great example. I like New Mexico for some reason. They're really sticking out to me to make some noise.
NC State can make a lot of noise.
Exactly. Right. So if I had to look at a final four right now, I'm going to go with, and this was tough because I was really debating between UConn and Illinois as the final four in the East, and I did pick UConn to come out of that. I know it's kind of a easier pick. When I look at the West, you know, I was final four or the final two out of the West. I was looking at more so Baylor, North Carolina. So I actually want to go with Baylor. I think Baylor is going to move further than North Carolina. Then when I look over in the South, I had Houston and Kentucky in their finals there, and Houston getting that. And then, of course, in the other side, I'm going to go with, people are going to like this, Oregon and Purdue. But I'm going to say, let's go and give Butch some love. Oregon's getting into the final four, okay? Giving Oregon is getting in the final four. You know, but who is overall winning this championship? Houston's going to move on. And UConn's going to move on. It's going to be UConn against Houston, and Houston will be your national champion.
Now, I will say this. I think UConn is the most attractive number one pick to take because they won their conference championship. But yeah. I don't think that that is the best number one team. I still think that Houston is. I think Purdue's the worst number one team. I'll give UConn that three spot, though. North Carolina is probably the number two. You know what? I'll give UConn number two and North Carolina number three. I think North Carolina is going to find a way to choke in this tournament. I really do.
That's a good take. Good take. I can't see Houston choking. That's one team that I can't. I know that they just look like overall they're ready. I know that when you look
at they choked in their conference championship game.
Maybe that's the motivation you need sometimes. Maybe these three teams that were going to win that, they just come out with an absolute fire under their ass, and you see those three teams make it, but the UConn doesn't, right? That could be the story of it. But everyone's bracket, okay? I want to know people who have – I know there's been people with perfect brackets in the world before. I think that has happened in the world. I don't want to say that on radio or on radio.
Perfect bracket's never happened.
A perfect bracket has never happened. Okay, thank you, EJ.
You're more likely to get struck by lightning.
There we go. And I mean podcast, not radio. See, old style. Old style still lingers inside there. But
you're more likely to be killed by your radio than win a perfect bracket.
Like, imagine getting a perfect bracket and being the person that got a perfect bracket. My goodness. Like, perfect bracket. Unbelievable. Doesn't happen. But this is going to be a very exciting March Madness. I'll be supporting my Duke. You know, obviously Coach K not behind the bench. Things have changed a lot in Duke, but that's what comes with sports, right? And I think this tournament's going to be very exciting. But I love the Cinderella story, and I would love. Sorry, Purdue fans, I wouldn't mind if you did lose your first game. Okay, that would be a great little storyline, and I wouldn't mind.
Speaking of who they're going to play, as of right now, the game is tied 72-72, Grambling State versus Montana State. 37 seconds left in the second half.
Unbelievable. This tournament is madness. It's going to be madness, EJ. So everyone, let us know what your bracket is. Post it below if you feel like you want to compete up against us and match up our brackets. Everyone's going to be going. Even former President Barack Obama did his yearly one, and there's everyone who did their yearly bracket, and it's always great to see people's selections. And I do agree with some of them, but I just can't see Houston not winning this year. Just doesn't make sense. All right, EJ, that's been March Madness. I want to do a two-minute warning here. It has nothing to do with March Madness.
Let's do a lightning round. You fire them off. I'll answer the questions.
Love a lightning round. Okay, blitz. We're doing a blitz. We're calling an audible.
Doing a blitz.
No two-minute warning. We're doing a blitz. I talked football last week, and I went through all the signings. Believe it or not, I don't know if you listened to the episode, EJ, or not, but I went through
Of course I did. I listened to every episode of the Game Sports Podcast.
That's my boy, EJ. So
I actually did listen, though.
It was a great offseason so far in football. A lot of change, a lot of movement. Mm-hmm. There's one thing I didn't get a chance to talk about, and it is something about my Steelers, but I want your take on it.
Yeah.
It didn't happen yet at that time. So I'm going to rapid fire some things at you, and you can go from there, okay?
You ask a question, I'll give you a 30-second or less answer.
Atlanta Falcons.
Great choice. I think Kirk Cousins certainly an upgrade. I think that he is going to bring a lot of maturity to that locker room, but also – I mean, reference the chains around his neck. Players are going to love him. I think he's going to fit in well. I like Kirk Cousins of the Falcons. Great deal for Kirk, though. Again, a lot of guaranteed money.
Are they the best offense in the league? Top three now? No? Hot take. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. Steelers trading for Justin Fields.
Steelers trading for Justin Fields is absolutely fucking worthless in my mind. I do love that they got Russell Wilson for them. You know, Ben Roethlisberger was one of those guys that was able to extend plays with his leg and not necessarily use the legs to get down fields like a Justin Fields does. I think he gives you a nice backup to Russell Wilson, but I think that Russell Wilson gives you a little bit more Ben Roethlisberger than what you've had out of your last couple guys.
A few more. New York Jets.
Fuck them. I don't care what New York Jets do. They're a dumpster fire every year.
Love that.
If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy for more than 15 seconds, sure.
That's what you're always wanting. The first play of the season. What is going to happen? Baltimore Ravens, EJ.
Again, fuck them. They added Derrick Henry, and man, does that just irritate me because I haven't been really, really, really scared of a Baltimore offense like I was when they had Jamal Lewis running the rock. In the early and mid-2000s, I think that when they are running the ball well, they're a very dangerous team. Combine that with Lamar Jackson's ability and their continuance of solid top 15, top 10 defensive play, I think the Baltimore Ravens continue to play a significant role in the AFC North going forward.
Two more teams I'm going to drop at you, and you'll know what the last one will be. But this team, Detroit Lions.
Mediocre? Yeah. I don't know that they've done a ton to impress me. I think that the Lions are looking to maintain what they had last year and then look for them to be offensive line and defensive heavy in the upcoming draft and make smart choices and don't do anything dangerous. Just find some guys that can back up offensive linemen that you have because you know injuries are inevitable, and pick up some corners for defense because your secondary could use a little improvement.
That's it. I lied. There is two more right now. Caleb Williams, bust or not?
Fuck that kid. Asking for ownership? Get out of here. Name me the last good quarterback from USC. I'll wait. I can tell you who it is, but you won't name him.
Oh, my.
Five, four, three. I'll give you a hint. Cincinnati, two.
Oh, Joe Burrow.
Carson Palmer.
Oh, my. Yeah, Joe Burrow didn't go to
USC. But that's what I'm getting at. That's the last time a USC quarterback was over it. It's not Matt Leinart. It's not, Matt Barkley. It's none of those guys. It was Carson Palmer. And I don't even think he'll wear a gold jacket, even though I think he deserves a conversation of it. I don't think he gets one, but I'm not sold on USC quarterbacks in the NFL, and I'm certainly not sold on somebody as cocky as Caleb Williams has been in asking for a percentage of ownership and this and that when you couldn't even win the Pac-12 that doesn't even exist anymore.
I can't believe I said Joe Burrow when I knew it was Carson Palmer. Good movie.
Joe Burrow was OSU and LSU.
Yeah. My goodness. Now, last one that I'll say, but there's a lot of football we can get into, but you know where I'm going. You know, what team do you cheer for? It's the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Talk about your Browns.
I love bringing back Za'Darius Smith. I think that's an excellent 1-2 punch with Myles Garrett. I think they both make each other better. Absolutely don't hate the addition of Jerry Jeudy. I think that that has a lot of potential there. Jameis Winston can eat a W and sit in the back of the locker room. I'm not really excited about that, but I think our locker room in the quarterback room, if Deshaun can win some games this year, is still solid. I think Jameis Winston, as much as I dislike him as a character, because I don't know him personally, but what I see on TV, what I hear him say, what he's been portrayed as publicly, and even like he posted a video to the Cleveland Browns Twitter page and he's like, "What's up, Dog Pound?" And he couldn't say "What's up, Dog Pound." He's like, "What's up, Dog Pound?" He messed it up. Like, dude, you can delete that and record it again. You decided that your second worst take was the best one you got. Like, that again, lack of attention to detail. I'm not a big Jameis Winston fan, but Deshaun Watson or bust. That's what we're riding with. And Nick Chubb or bust, of course. Myles Garrett or bust.
Yeah.
Mark Cooper or bust. David Njoku or bust. Joe Bitonio or bust. We got a great team, but it's just got to put together now. No excuses.
That division's going to be even more exciting to watch.
It's going to be better this year with the addition of Russell Wilson, but I still don't think that the Steelers are the second best team in that division.
No, there's a lot of I won't disagree with you on that. We, as in Steelers Nation, as I'm a fan of the Steelers, did not expect that either. But I know one person's happy. Justin Heichel got the flack attack in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I was pissed about that a little bit.
Yeah, he was loving that. It's a good little story, but we'll save that for Justin when he's here. EJ, I know we're actually making good time here tonight. It's very impressive. That is.
Yeah, I'm trying to just keep my lungs in one piece over here.
Yeah, I've been taking cough drops all day. I hear you.
I told my wife, we went out to dinner earlier, and I was kind of coughing like you've seen me doing on camera. And she's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm not going to have a voice tomorrow." She's like, "How do you know?" I'm like, "I know. I can already feel it coming." So I got to go to work tomorrow and try to sell a car and be like, "You want to buy this Ram?" It's going to be awful.
They'll buy it from you right there. Speaking of that, EJ, tell the listeners what you do, the viewers and listeners, what you do before we sign you off.
Ooh, right button there. Of course, if you're ever in need of a vehicle here in the good old US of A, or even if you want to cross over from Canada and look at something, I work at Riverside Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escanaba. We sell brand new Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram products as well as used across any brand. Riverside as the auto group, 7 dealerships strong. So if there's something you need, I can probably find it, and I'm confident that I can. If you need help, I'm not saying if you want to buy one, if you need help looking for a vehicle that you think might be perfect for you, give me a call. I'd love to help, even if I can't sell it to you. My number is 906-217-2705. Again, EJ at Riverside Chrysler, 906-217-2705. We're big enough to serve you, but small enough to know you.
Love that. And I also own a Ram. So everyone tell you, if you want to get a Ram, Rams are good vehicles. Okay. That's telling you right now. But again, EJ, I want to say thank you very much to you, my friend, for taking the time coming to chat March Madness. And I know we'll get you on as the next week episodes comes about, maybe as the tournament progresses and the upsets maybe happen and all the little joys of March Madness occurred. And it was great to hear some football talk from you too. It's even though it's only been a month and some change, it's still feels too long to not chat some football.
Well, and I love being here as always. And I got to tell you guys, by the end of football season and selling cars and this, that, I'm ready for a hiatus. So don't be surprised if you don't hear me for a month or two. I might periodically jump in on something here or there. But this is my pseudo off season. So excited for that. But Dave, anything you need, I don't care if it's hockey, baseball, basketball, professional bowling. You want to talk a little Norm Duke? I got you.
We should got go bowling sometime, man. For real.
Really? You're going to drive? Come on over.
I suck at bowling. I'm so bad.
But you can come stay on my couch. Come on over. Whenever you want.
I wouldn't even need a couch, probably, if I just take the floor.
Dixie would probably smother you to death.
Great. I don't mind dog cuddles. All right, EJ. Thanks very much. I'm going to get to our sign-off here, and EJ gets to say his sign-off because this is the conclusion of the Game Sports Podcast. Make sure you follow the Game Sports Podcast on TikTok, social media pages all over, Facebook and Instagram. You can also follow 91N on 91 Network YouTube channel, and also Spotify, Apple, Podbean, Google, Amazon, wherever you're listening to the Game Sports Podcast. Simple like, follow, subscribe, comment goes a long way for us. So make sure you take the time to do so. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks to Alex Parr. Thanks to you again, EJ. Thanks to you, of course, the listeners all around listening to us here on the game. And until next week, I'm here to remind you, keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.
Shoot!